Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Global EcoTalk Show, the show will celebrate responsible community development and volunteer works in Africa, featuring your host is Eko Takashiba.
And I am Victoria Adelaga, I'm the co-host.
And I am Ibeng Ewama, I'm the sound engineer for this show.
I'm Shamba Shamsat, I'm a student at Ely University for Women in Bangladesh.
We ask professionals, entrepreneurs, advocacy agents, and you for understanding difficult problems like poverty, violence, and global warming in Africa so that we may work towards betterment faster and more enjoyable.
I wish I could hope that I'm worrying for how much time and energy I can commit to working with the organization. And I don't know.
But I do not want to get too involved because I don't want to suffer and I don't know what to do.
Well, I think I personally want to get involved because Africa is my continent. I love Africa and I hate seeing people go through issues that bothers my heart, like suffering and HIV and all the rest, you know, issues that we have here in Africa. And so I think I do want to help it, make positive and put as much effort as I can in my life.
If you feel that way, no problem. Our membership allows us to participate at any time, anywhere. We have people from around the world. Each member does what he or she can do, but they don't do what they don't want to. Doing things with passion is important, and it is also important to be appreciated.
I will participate and join. I can offer my professional help with the writing and editing the articles.
I would like to distribute, you know, to support in the area of community development. Get more.
I'm trying to get more people to know about me, and I think I'm wonderful enough and I can be part of it.
It is very important, but it's not by force. It's a pleasure to work with long competitions, backbiting, and politics. Would you not be excited to work online with other volunteers around the world? Suspicious email or computer files? No worries. The personal information is protected under any circumstances, and all you need is to get it on your page. Please visit our website, www.swapping.com.
Wow, it's such a wonderful show. Thank you so much.
It is such a great show. We are very happy to have you visit our website.
Wonderful. Well done, Dr.
Thank you for listening.
Here on the blogtalkradio.com. Now it is the Global EcoTalk Show.
Hello, everybody. How are you? Thank you for listening to the 48th episode Global EcoTalk Show of 26th July 2015. Today, we are going to have a Nigerian eye doctor and Indian surgeon. Both are specialized in eye problems. I'm the host, Eko Nagashima. How are eye problems in Nigeria? To give you a little background information, according to International Center for Eye Health, let me share it with you. In 2005 to 2007, the National Survey of Blindness and Visual Impairment was conducted, the biggest ever survey in Africa. And for the first time, scientifically valid data are available for the entire country, providing the epidemiological evidence and data needed for eye care planning, priority setting, advocacy, and for the measuring the impact of service delivery in Nigeria. Nigerian population ranges from 130 million to 150 million at the time from 2005 to 2007, it is estimated that 1.13 million individuals aged 40 years old are currently blind in Nigeria. A further 2.7 million adults aged 40 years are estimated to have moderate visual impairment, and additionally 400,000 adults are severely visually impaired. 4.25 million adults aged 40 years in Nigeria are visually impaired or blind. That is what it says. So our show today focuses on how the eye care can be provided by a collaborative effort from different nations. Right now, Dr. Anupama Vishwash, eye surgeon, is located in West Bengal, India. And I have been trying to reach her, but for some reason, the connection is not very good. And then here we have Dr. Ekanem Efiam. He's located in Akwa Ibom State, Nigeria. Okay, Dr. Efiam, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you for being on the show. We are privileged to have you today.
I appreciate it as well. It's
thank you.
A great opportunity. Yeah.
Okay. I have tried to reach her, but the connection was bad. So shall we start?
Yes, quite ready.
Okay. Will you introduce yourself to the audience?
Okay. I am Dr. Ekanem Efiam, and I am an optometrist practicing here in Uyo, Akwa Ibom State, Nigeria. Akwa Ibom State happens to be one of the Niger Delta states, the oil-producing state for Nigeria. I studied and did my first degree in applied sciences in London some years ago and moved on to the United States to study optometry and had some time at Harvard University Summer School to study expository science, writing and sciences. So I'm married and I have three children, and my first child has just completed university in fine arts. My second child says she wants to study medicine and probably go and become an ophthalmologist, not an optometrist like her father. And my third child is preparing for his O-level exam. So that is a little bit I can say about myself right now. I do private practice.
Okay, it's wonderful. Dr. F. Young and myself met back in 2012, I think, in Nigeria.
That's correct.
And
that's correct.
Your office was located on Orange Street, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, I'm just trying to recall. Anyway, will you tell us about your current program?
Okay. My current program, apart from my private practice, involves community health projects in the local government areas in my state. Usually these health projects are organized by myself and my junior sister, who is a triple qualified nurse. She works in the local government areas, and I use the health center to try and reach to the people in this local government who are very poor and cannot help themselves. And usually she would inform the chiefs of this area, and there will be a town crier who rings the bell along the streets there in that village, inviting people on a particular day to meet with me. And these days I go out to try and assist. Usually they don't have money to pay, so I do a free eye test in any case. And we ask them to pay just a little token for the drug and the glasses, which we would give them. And these glasses, we have to make it as very cheap as possible. So these are the kind of programs which I do. But the program, the outreach programs, are only done about twice or thrice because it's expensive for me. I tried the local government chairman to see if they will be able to sponsor, but it looks like they become a money thing for them. They would want to withdraw the money and use for one thing or the other, and there's not enough to even buy frames and lenses. So I left them off and did it my own private way when I have enough funds to assist. So usually I also go to big talks in some churches where I'm invited to talk about the eye problems and educate people, because there are people who develop these eye problems and do not know how to help themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So when I go in there to discuss, I educate them, and they'll be able to help themselves in that regard.
Wow.
So that is the program, yeah.
Okay. Are you running that program under non-profit organization?
Yes, it's a non-profit organization, but it is organized by me. When I tried to get some of my doctor friends, my colleagues, to join with me, they feel it's not a profitable thing, that they are not going to make any gain. So I just had to help these people because it's my profession and I love to do it. So that is why I usually go out alone with nurses from these health centers to assist, and a technician to follow me and fit these lenses into frames for them.
Wow, I did not know that at the time when I met you. How long have you been running this non-profit?
Well, I have been doing it. There are some years that I would not be able to go out, but if there is any local government area where my sister, who is a triple qualified nurse, asks that I should come, then I will prepare myself and go. But it's usually a little expensive for me. So I try to do it sometimes once a year, sometimes twice. At least 1 year I did it twice. So that was when there were some things were a bit cheaper in the market, so I could get some frames for them. But I asked them to pay a stipend, very little thing like 1,000 naira for both lens and frames. But they dropped. Will be given free drugs like vitamin A and some other eye drops which are not that expensive.
Wow. Okay, could you tell the name of the organization to the audience?
Okay, it's Dr. Ekanem Health Outreach.
Okay, Dr.
Ekanem Health Outreach.
Outreach. Okay.
Yeah.
It's good to know. Now, what type of eye problems are prevalent in India, Nigeria?
Yes, during my trip to these places, what I discover, the most prevalent are the cataract and glaucoma. But since that needs an ophthalmologist, to attend to them, I usually direct them to where they can have these services. But other problems like the myopic and the presbyopic and the astigmatism which requires lenses, I will be able to provide that. Other simple problems like conjunctivitis, there are drugs around for it, and I treat them with that and vitamin A and other little problems. But when it comes to the surgery, it is quite expensive for these people.
Yes.
Right now, an operation, a cataract operation extraction for one eye, goes for about 50,000 naira in the government hospital. And when I talk to them, and they feel they don't have the money, and they will go blind.
Mm.
And sometimes glaucoma still goes for about 50,000 naira in the government hospital. And I try to advise them that if they do not do the operation, they will go blind. So they better sell their landed property to help themselves. Sometimes I meet the churches which I go to give talks and bring out the patients which I have discovered to have these problems before the church, and ask the church leaders and the members who do not have this problem to assist them. In fact, this way, I have been able to help quite a few. But I found out that's why I'm interested in this program, because it gives me satisfaction to be able to talk, advise, and direct them to where they could have their surgery done.
Okay.
So these are the problems that they have to hear.
Yes, I'm not a specialist in that area, so I don't know certain things, so please bear with me. Is there any way they could have avoided that eye problems beforehand?
Well, okay, there, that is a very good question. A way whether there is a way they could avoid this eye problem.
Yes.
One, they do not have good nutrition.
Right.
They have a staple food which they eat in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening, and it's just filled with carbohydrates. And that staple food is what we call cassava, prepared in different ways. And they need the vitamins to be able to assist them. And they do not know, even if they are able to afford them. Nowadays, vitamins are even very expensive. So what we do is I collaborate with the health centers which I go to and ask them if there have been any NGO that has been able to provide drugs or vitamins, or if there is any, they should write to them, or I could write so that to be able to provide enough drugs for these people. So, yes, if they had this drug, they'll be able to avoid some of the health problems which they are passing through. And more so, one of the reasons why they have this problem is because when the medical attention was not there in the past, in the olden days, they depend on herbs. And these herbs are used wrongly, and it affects them. And this is quite a big problem when I go to visit. I must try to give talks and try to educate them. Sometimes they apply urine into the eye, and they feel that is going to clear conjunctivitis.
Okay.
And I try to advise them that they should not do that. Yes.
Okay, sorry for interrupting, but okay, there must be some kind of a superstitious ideas around among the people. Did you hear me?
I do not get the question very well.
Okay, I'm saying that there must be some superstitious ideas that is
giving
them a right thing to do.
They have superstitious ideas.
Right.
There is a case where somebody came to me and he had just a simple conjunctivitis, and he says that it's somebody else in the village that is trying to harm him. And I said, no, that this is an infection. I actually pleaded with him not to cause any harm to somebody else, that he should give me just about 5 days and apply the drugs which I'm going to prescribe for him, that he would get better. And but the third day, he called me and says he's getting better already. And I said, you see, you would have gone to harm somebody. So, yes, superstition affects them one way or the other. Now, I am referring to the real local people in the villages. Those in the urban areas are much more educated, and they actually look for a doctor, even though there's still some among them that still return back to their old system of treating themselves because of the high cost.
Yes, I remember that when I was in Nigeria, many people used to go to the native doctors. Native doctors are the ones giving the wrong ideas to the people.
That's correct. Can you imagine how a native doctor tries to dislodge cataracts in somebody's eye?
Wow.
They actually poke it. And dislodge the lens, and light passes through in the eye. Very painful experience.
Oh, no.
And then the patient would see, because light has entered, and will be happy. Oh, he went to see the native doctor, now he's seeing. Now, once we discovered this, we had to report to the authorities to try and get this person arrested, and that was done some years ago. But believe me, a lot of cases, especially those cataract cases that have diabetes, because it's always a difficult case to operate on a diabetic patient that has cataract. So they go to these people, and they poke their eyes with something, and they flop their lens to the side, and light passes through, and they see again to a certain degree. So we have to stop this practice. And it was actually happening in Uyo, not even in the local area. It was happening right there in the city.
So we
have to do that. And yes, we have to do that and stop it.
Yeah, what kind of solutions available right now in Uyo City where you are?
Okay, the solutions to this problem is drugs. We don't have enough ophthalmologists in Uyo, not even in Cross River State, the neighboring state. But there is one Indian doctor that is sponsored by the Cross River State government, and that is situated in Calabar, in Cross River State, just about 2 hours drive from Uyo. That is where I direct my patients to for cataract extraction. And this Indian doctor, the state government pays him, and he doesn't charge. But the people would have to pay a fee to be examined first by the optometrist, who would then direct them to see this doctor. I have done that, and this year I think I have sent up to about almost 30, 27 people, and they have passed through a successful operation from this Indian doctor. It's a male. There are about two, but one is still left. The other one has returned back to India. But here in Uyo, we have Mercy Eye Hospital, and there is a visiting doctor that comes there once a week, and that is where the big charge of about 50,000 for every eye operation is collected. There is also a new private hospital now, which started this year, but this private hospital charges up to 250,000 naira for the same operation. So you can see we have solutions, but they are expensive solutions to these people. And that is why when I direct them there and they find that it's expensive, they either return and do nothing about it, or they return back to their juju man to try and do something to make them see. And drugs are also expensive. For example, the drugs which we give to glaucoma cases so as to relieve them of the eye pressure cost about 5,000 naira for a bottle at the pharmacy. And Simoctol, which is another cheaper one, is fast being removed from the shelf in the pharmacy because the scientists' research have discovered that it blocks the vision too after a very long term of use.
Mm-hmm.
So they are
selling that openly. I'm sorry. So they are selling that openly in public?
Yes, they are still selling that openly in public. And when they come to me, my patients come to me, I advise them not to use that again. That we are only allowed to use it only on emergency cases because it would reduce the pressure immediately or at least within 2 days. The person will have peace. But if we continue to apply that drug for a month, 2 years, it will gradually spoil the eyes. It is a blocker. We call it a beta blocker, Simoctol or Timolol. But we have other ones which are very good but expensive. And these people cannot afford it. They need at least 10,000 naira a month to take care of their glaucoma cases. And that is expensive for them. Hello?
Yes, I hear. It is very disturbing.
Okay.
Oh.
So that is what we are passing through, and we have to try to educate them very much. And those, especially those with glaucoma cases, it is inherited. And therefore, we will ask them to bring their children for us to examine. Those that have it, we start early enough to apply drugs and assist them. They have to be visiting at least every quarter of the year so that we would check the eye pressure with a special instrument which we use in measuring that pressure to see if it is high. The day they are coming for the test, they will not induce the eye drop so that it will not influence the pressure check. And we'll be able to know the true state of that eye pressure. So there is a lot of things that the ophthalmologist should do and assist, but we don't have many of them. We have many optometrists. And I am an optometrist, but I am seeing a lot of work for the ophthalmologists here in our state. We give glasses, and these glasses, it's an average of about 5 to 10,000 naira, but these poor people will not be able to afford. So we have to go and look for very cheap frames to be able to assist them. And sometimes they don't even have the money to complete, and they'll be pleading for me to assist them, and I give them. What else can I do? They have to have their eyes, their second eye, so that is their glasses. So we pass through a lot here. Those of my colleagues that are in the urban area, they do not have any problem. Nobody cares for these poor people here, but that is why I set up this organization and try to see what little things I can do to assist these people.
I really commend you. I admire you for doing this by yourself. But
yes, my sister, also who is a triple qualified nurse, assists me to organize, and then I only go in there to test and provide lenses and drugs the best way I can. And I would definitely tell the medical center that would invite me that they must be able to have some drugs for these people and charge them very little amount of money.
Okay.
That used to be the condition for my coming. Yes.
Yes. Okay, Dr. Retian.
Yes.
Let's get to the point. See, we are trying to organize the solutions to the eye problems in Nigeria. So,
okay.
Tell us what is the most important things to provide. What is the first thing? What equipment is available over there? What is missing?
Well, there are two things. There are two things, I think. It would be surgery for these people and frames and lenses for those that cannot afford the expensive glasses. But most importantly, the instrumentation which we need to attend to these people is very important. The instrumentation which I am using are what I used when I was in university about 20 years ago. They are obsolete now. We need the automatic refractometer, for example. When I attend to a patient, it takes me at least 15 to 20 minutes. And therefore, with the auto refractometer, I'll be able to attend within that 20 minutes to at least 3. Because it's going to bring out the lens prescription, I'll do what we call subjective examination and be able to check the inside of the eye and move on to attend to up to 200 to 300 patients that are waiting in this local government area. So we need instruments to check the pressure. But as far as surgery goes, we will need the ophthalmologist to be able to assist them. But these are the basically frames and lenses that we need to assist these people.
Thank you very much, Dr. Efian. It's about the time finish the show, but we'd like to invite you again, if possible, to further the discussion. Dr. Anupama Biswas, she wanted to join the show, but she told me that she had to run to the emergency. So maybe sometime soon. Let us say thank you to you audience for listening, and let me extend my gratitude to you, Dr. Ekane Efien. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Yes, the radio show on August 9th, in 2 weeks from now, we will have a guest from Lagos, Nigeria. Her name is Oltosin Oradoz Odelewale, and she's going to discuss how she helped girls who escaped from Boko Haram. Stay tuned. Yes. Okay. We wish
that's
you a very happy week. I would like to again express my gratitude to my participant, Dr. Efien.
I was going to add that if there is need to send an email on the requirements which you just asked for, I can send an email to you'll be able to.
Please, yes. I was going to ask you after the show anyway. Thank you so much. Okay, goodbye,
thank
everybody.
You.
Goodbye.